Lord God Almighty, we lift up your name on here this morning. Even this afternoon, we praise your name across the globe. In all places of your dominion, let the name of the Lord be glorified. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Because the entrance of your word brings light. Glory to God. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning and give understanding of what the Lord is saying and doing. And Lord, we demand and decree that the operation of this room and the platform, the mechanics behind the room, the servers from Clubhouse, our phones, our internets and everything, you know, be subject and obey and function properly this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome everybody again. I got this thing to share with you today and the devil cannot stop it. The way I'll be bringing this message today will be like none other that I have done before. Because in every situation, it's going to be more, it's not just a message or teaching, it's also prayers mingled in every one of these. And our topic today is blessed and highly favored before God and man. And I will be showing you, I already know in my heart that this may take two or three lessons to finish it. And I'm going to take my time. So this is part one. But I'm going to go throughout the scriptures, from Genesis clear on to the end of the book, as many examples as we can find of people that walked with God in favor, or walked, you know, God gave them favor before man, and we will pray, you know, after each one of those examples, I will declare something for you. That's right. You know, we're going to tap into those anointings, so you get ready. This is not just a listening, you know, lounge today, you're just listening in and nothing. No, I want you to engage, you know, even though you keep your mics turned off while I'm delivering the lesson so that it can be clear to everybody, but you silently agree along with every declaration that will be made on here today. So here we go. We start in Genesis chapter 5. This is Enoch's story. You'll find his story in Genesis 5 verses 22 to 24 and also in Hebrews 11 verses 5 to 6. Let's read the Genesis account. So this platform is patterned after Enoch. And so, you know, we believe that even looking at his life, even though there's not a whole lot written about him, he should be one of these people that we will be talking about today. Enoch, we're told in verse 21 that he was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning this same Enoch. There's something that was not recorded in Genesis that we learn of about his experience, the way it was recorded in Hebrews. You won't see it in the Genesis account quite like that. But Hebrews gives us a little more insight. And here's how Hebrews records it of him. By faith, Hebrews 11 and 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. That part we knew. But here's the part we didn't know at that time by just reading Genesis. The reason. Say, for before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God or was in favor with God. Hallelujah. So there was a man that was in favor with God. Hallelujah. And he walked with God. And the Lord took him, and he was not. And he has the declaration and the prayer from that short life. We're going to declare this. I'm going to pray this for you. May we all, every one of us, myself included, obtain this kind of favor with God, to be in league and in alliance with God. For it is written again in the book of Amos that, look, two people cannot walk together unless they be agreed. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. So, our prayer and my declaration over the room today, may we find favor before God like Enoch did, and be in league and in agreement, lockstep with the Lord. Glory to God. And just like Enoch, may we have the faith that pleases God and causes us to not only walk with him, but also be translated just like Enoch was. So may we all obtain this kind of favor with God, that we may so please the Lord to walk with him daily, that he will translate us also, that we should not see death. Amen. And amen for that. Praise the Lord. Next character that we're going to look at is Noah. Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 to 9. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 to 9. Noah, we are told, also found grace and favor with God, and the Lord spared his family, he and his family, from the destruction of the world by flood. We read his story in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 to 9, and also Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Here's the Genesis account. In Genesis, we are going to read a short, there's a long story about Noah. But we're going to just read a short version of it. Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. It says, Noah found grace. And I say grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now remember, this message is about having favor both before God and before man. And we're going to see these examples of those who had tremendous favor with God. You know, we've already talked about Enoch, how God singled him out of the generations of the people that, you know, after the fall. And as each one of them were dying out, God singled out Enoch that he would not die. Now, that's a massive favor. Now, also, Noah. The Lord has said that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that their every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and all creeping thing and all fowls in the air, for he repented me that I've made them. But Noah found grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. Oh my goodness. And Noah and his family, you know, the grace and anointing and favor that was upon Noah, his family tapped into it, and they were saved from the destruction that would come upon the world at that time by the flood. Now, I declare this prayer and this declaration over this room. May we and our families find this kind of favor before God to escape even destruction that is promised to come and declared to come in our time at the end of the age. Luke 21 and verse 36 tells you this prayer that we are praying today. Like Noah, may we also find favor before the Lord. In Luke 21 and 36, Jesus told the disciples, he said, you know, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape, just like Noah and his family, all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus himself, he spoke about Noah more than once. You know, in this place, you know, even though he didn't quite call out Noah, but we see that there was a reference in another place. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, even so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, we see that Jesus made reference to this story of Noah. He talked about how it was, how it happened in the time of Noah. And again, he said it will be the same again at the end of the age when the Lord will be coming back. But as it was in the days of Noah, he said, you know, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women may be grinding at the mill, the one taking and the other left. So we see there will be also a separation at the end. But, you know, in reference to this story, we see that Noah was saved from their destruction at that time. And Jesus said, as it was then, so shall it be even now. May we find this kind of favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord, that we will be counted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. There's going to be a great escape, you know, not because we're afraid of anything, but because God promised it. And you would be foolish to want to stay behind when God says, pray that you escape. Some people say, well, you're going to stay behind. You're going to suffer the great tribulation along with the rest of the world. But Jesus said, pray that you may escape. If the Lord did not want us to have something, he wouldn't ask us to pray for it. If the Lord didn't want us to escape, he wouldn't be asking us to pray that we might escape and that we might be found worthy to not only escape, but to stand before the Son of Man. So may we receive this kind of favor and grace with the Lord, that we also will be counted worthy to escape the coming great tribulation. That's right. It is coming. And no matter what anyone says, it is coming. And the Lord says there will be some that will escape. Praise the Lord. May you and your families find this kind of grace before the Lord to escape. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about Enoch. We've talked about Noah. Well, let's talk about Abraham. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 3 to 5, we find, you know, that Abraham had, you know, different, I mean, we talked about him yesterday. Even from Genesis chapter 12, Abraham found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That whereas the rest of the world was trying to be something and make themselves a name and be great. And the Lord rejected them, scattered them, and blew down the Tower of Babel. On the other hand, God handpicked Abraham. You know, he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. There was a separation. And from thy father's house, and I will give you a land, to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou will be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless you, and curse him that curse you, and in thee shall all families. There's no greater blessing for human being in the scriptures than the one that God put upon Abraham. Abraham will be the source of blessing to everybody, all families in the world. Glory to God. My goodness. And what did Abraham do to deserve it? Nothing. God found favor. Would you close your mic, please? God, everybody, please keep your mics closed. God gave him favor. And then he found favor, and God put a blessing upon him such as there was never any other. And it turned out that the seed of Abraham would be the Christ. And we fast forward to Ephesians chapter 3. We see that indeed, you know, all the families in heaven, you know, or anywhere else that belong to God are named after the Christ. Praise the Lord. So God put this blessing on Abraham. It's a blessing beyond blessings. He said, I will bless you. Glory to God. And I'm going to make you great. And anyone that blesses you will also be blessed. And anyone that come against you, I will also curse them, he said. My goodness. And here is our prayer for today concerning what we have read in the life of Abraham at the time. You know, may the Lord give us grace like this to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. Favor in the eyes of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there were other lessons in his story. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 3 to 5, he found favor in receiving visitation from the Lord. And he found favor in prayer with God. I mean, he was a man that could stand before God. And God would, you know, tell him, say, look, how can I hide from Abraham what I would do? I mean, that's favor. Praise God. You know, that's favor. The Lord telling Abraham that, look, he's about to go over and judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord showed it to Abraham. And he caused Abraham to pray and pray and pray. And pray, and he almost got the people saved, but he couldn't do it. But in any case, he got his Lot and his family out of there, you know. And also in Genesis chapter 22, you know, it came to pass that God gave Abraham a great test, called him, said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And the Lord said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, get into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon the mountains that I will tell thee of. So Abraham, well, it was not, you know, something easy by any means to be told to go and offer up his son that he had waited for many years, 25 to be exact, you know, and, but he obeyed. And as he went, you know, in his heart, he was thinking that, well, even if I sacrifice him, God's able to raise him up. He believed that the Lord said that this child will be a continuing blessing. So if he were to be killed, well, then that means the Lord will have to raise him up. It was in his heart like that. And he believed the Lord. And when he was just about ready to do it, the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham. He said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad and do him no harm at all. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Hallelujah. And in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham again and said, by myself have I sworn. There's only a few places in the scriptures where God says that. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because that thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing. And here is a blessing that God put smack down on Abraham here. The blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Until this day, you know, those enemies are still surrounding the children of Israel, but the Lord said they will possess it. They will possess the land of Palestine no matter what happens or what comes up against it, because the Lord already said it. And in thy seed, now this was the greatest blessing or pronunciation that God could put upon anyone. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that thou has obeyed my voice. And here is a prayer for us to tap into this kind of anointing and grace that was upon Abraham. And here is the prayer and declaration for us today. May the Lord grant us this grace. Now, God is the one that gives grace to obey his commandments, to even to repent, grace to do anything. It comes from the Lord. And may the Lord grant us grace. This kind of grace and this kind of favor to receive visitation from God, and for, you know, us to have the heart to obey his commandments and do what he says, you know, what the Lord says, whether easy or not, may we receive the grace to do it. Praise the Lord. The grace to do what is right, not necessarily what is easy. Praise the Lord. I want you to take that as a punchline today. Abraham received grace to do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, in obeying the voice of the Lord to go sacrifice his son. He did not try to do what was easy, but he made up his mind to do that which was right, which God commanded him to do. Even though it was the most difficult thing to have to sacrifice his son, you know, and Abraham didn't question it. He tried to go through with it. Whereupon the Lord also said, by myself, ha, glory to God, have I sworn. And, you know, God put a blessing on him that we are still enjoying till this day. The blessing of Abraham come upon even the Gentiles by faith. We are still receiving that blessing today. May the Lord grant every one of us this kind of favor. Praise the Lord. And we are told even in Hebrews chapter 6 concerning this thing that happened and what God swore to Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 6, we read in verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Hallelujah. And so I pray in the name of Jesus over this room today, and I declare that we may all tap into this kind of anointing, that was upon and the favor that was upon Abraham that would cause God to swear. You know, now we hadn't heard God swearing up till that point, but he swore it. He said, by myself, I have sworn that his blessing, I will multiply, bless you, I'm multiplying, I will multiply you. That was the first time I heard any such thing. And the Lord, he put a blessing upon Abraham and his seed till this day. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord cause us to have this kind of favor that Abraham had with God. In Jesus' name. And God gave Abraham multiple blessings and even visitations. And he also revealed himself to Abraham. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord grant us the grace to also obey his commandments so that he may reveal himself to us and make his abode with us. In the book of John, you know, chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, in this conversation between Jesus and his disciples, the Lord told us and gave us a powerful, powerful secret. If we get this understanding of what the Lord is saying here, describing how he will identify those that truly love him, and what those that truly love him will inherit. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And he that loves me, well, there is some special treatment and favor that they will get. He that hath my commandments, Jesus said, and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall receive this favor and this special treatment from God. He said, does God have favor towards those that love him? Absolutely. Now, not just the people that God loves. God loves everybody. But this is different. These are the people that love the Lord. And Jesus said, my Father will love him and I will love him also. It's a differentiated kind of love is what I call it. And I will come unto him and I will manifest myself to him. May we receive the grace to keep his commandments. Hallelujah. Keep his commandments so that we may get this kind of benediction, this kind of specialized love. Now there is a love that God had towards the whole world. For God so loved the world in John 3:16 that he gave his only begotten son to the world. But here is a different kind of love. The people that love the Lord, according as it is also described in Romans 8 and 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Not to them that God loves, but to them that love God. And they are the called according to his eternal purpose. May we receive this kind of favor with God that will cause the Lord to come unto us and make, he said, look, I will make my abode with him. Somebody asked him and said, no, why is it that you will manifest? They understood I was talking about him manifesting himself to them. To us and not to the world. And Jesus told him and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. This is the true test of who loves the Lord. Keep what the Lord is saying. You know, you may say, I love God, and so forth. The Bible says that these people, you know, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And say you love the Lord, then do what I say. That's what the Lord said. If you love me, then keep my sayings. You know, and they, you know, my Father will in turn love you when you do that. And we will come unto you, make our abode with him. Well, that's a powerful, powerful blessing. And I pray that the Lord will give us this kind of favor before the Lord, that we may also be visited by him and even be inhabited by him. Come and make our abode, ever present, ever abiding presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's our prayer for everyone in this room today, myself included, in Jesus' name. Let's move on to Lot. There's a lot to cover. Move on to Lot in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. This was a kind of referential favor that passed on from Abraham to Lot. And Lot received mercy from God to be delivered, he and his family, from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. The Lord had said, the Lord came to Abraham with two angels. And the Lord had said that, look, I have heard the report of this place and I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to check it out. And while Abraham detained the Lord trying to intercede for that place, the two angels went over. And when they got there, I mean, there was a lot of things that happened. You may know the story, you know. But the end of the story was they told Abraham to get out of there. That they are going to destroy this place. Lot. They told Lot to get out of there. They were coming to destroy this place. And let's listen to this. You know, this man, you know, was lingering, you know, lingering. There's a lesson also, you know, behind that. There's a negative lesson behind that. You know, even though we're calling out the positive, there's a negative lesson as well. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, I don't know, his heart was so tied into the things, you know, in that place that he didn't, you know, God was warning him, get out of this place. This destruction is coming. But he lingered and delayed, dragged his feet, you know. And, the Bible says while he lingered, the men, the two men, actually angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. And so despite, you know, his lingering, and despite, you know, his delay and sluggishness in heeding the warning of destruction, the Lord was merciful to him, perhaps because of the prayers of Abraham. And the Lord brought him forth, set him out without the city. Now, all your extended families, may they receive and tap into the favor of God that's upon your life for preservation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower for the righteous. When we run into it, we know we are safe. And by extension, you know, may all our loved ones also be saved from destruction in the name of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and he is safe. Well, we are safe, but our extended families can also tap into the blessing of the Lord and favor and the mercy of God by us standing in the gap for them and praying over them like Abraham did. And Abraham, it was in his heart. Abraham knew that Lot was in this place, in that place, and God said, we're going to go destroy the place. And Abraham stood before the Lord and said, if you will find this many people righteous in that place, will you also destroy it? Destroy the righteous along with the sinners? The Lord said, ask him about 50. He said, if I find it, I won't do it. And the Lord said, what if you don't find 50? What if you find 45? The Lord said, for 45, I'll spare the place. And Abraham said, what about if you couldn't find 45 and you found 40? God said, well, for 40, I'll spare the place. Abraham said, okay now, Lord. You know, I know. I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. But so peradventure, you couldn't find 40 and you found 35. You know, what are you going to do then? God said, well, if I find 35, I'll spare the place. And it, you know, Abraham continued to think in his heart. Yeah, I don't think that Noah's, I don't think that Lot's family is 35 or 40. He began to ask, what about 30? What about 25? What about 20? What about, you know, 15 and 10 and so forth? And so, you know, I mean, Abraham is thinking in his heart. I mean, he already knew that was, you know, several people in, you know, Lot's family. Hopefully by now, you know, they've influenced at least 5 or 6 more people. And because of all of that, you know, God will save the place. But unfortunately, the whole time that Lot was there, he did not influence anybody outside his family. He could not find anyone, you know, 2 or 3 others to make up the number. That is so sad, you know. And Abraham is probably thinking in his head, well, I'm sure a couple other people have heard and seen the righteousness of Lot. Lot has influenced them. I know there will be about 10 of them now already. You know, Lot didn't do it. Lot did not do it. His heart was not in the right place. You know, his heart was not there with the Lord. His heart was in the things of the world. And even though that place was wicked, you know, at times he was grieved, but he did not do enough to influence righteousness in that place. He couldn't do it too. And we saw what also happened to his wife. You know, her own heart too was in that place. The Lord told them, get out of that place and don't even look behind. But she did. And she became a pillar of salt. That's a sad part of that story. And Jesus made a very short reference to that story in the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Very, very short reference. Jesus just told them, he said, look, remember Lot's wife, you know, because she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, but on the other hand, the grace and the favor that was upon Abraham spilled over to Lot for his, you know, deliverance out of that destruction. May your families, hallelujah. I mean, we have grace that our families may also experience deliverance and protection and salvation in the name of Jesus. And may the Lord keep our hearts. See, you know, we know that in Genesis chapter 13, you know, prior to this story of destruction, how did Lot end up in this place? Well, you have to read the story, but after the Lord had called Abraham in Genesis 12, told him to get out of his family, I mean, where he was, and go to some place that I will show you, he brought along Lot. And then, of course, you know, Lot brought along his own family. And after a while, you know, the families began to grow, their servants multiplied, their sheep, everything multiplied. And they started to strive. There wasn't enough room for them. They will fight over the well. They will fight over the land, this and this and that. And so one day Abraham said to Lot, look, we are families. There's no need for us to fight. We should be able to coexist. You know, I brought you along thinking that we should coexist. But because you can't control your people, and it seems like my own people too are getting out of hand. Well, let's do this. There's plenty of land before us. Why don't you choose where you like and go in that direction? And I will go in the opposite direction just so that there can be peace. And you know, Abraham, he had a mind of in honor, preferring one another. He gave this honor to Lot to choose first. Would you imagine? The blessing was upon Abraham. He brought Lot along, even, you know, in the first place. But yet, he deferred to Lot to choose first. And in the greed that was in Lot's eyes, you can read it in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. There was a greed. There was greed in his eyes when Abraham gave him that choice. Choose first. Look, you know, look around you. Pick you know, any part of the land, you go that way and I'll go in the opposite, you know, just to keep peace. So we don't keep, you know, our companies don't keep fighting each other. And we're told in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10 that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. See, it was even as the garden of the Lord. And he looked at it, he said, well, that's the place I want. Not even caring that Abraham was the one that brought him along in the first place. See, there was greed in his heart. And he chose what looked like, you know, glitter and gold. And not all that glitters is gold. You know, but the land looked like it was really nice, looked flourishing. It looked like the Garden of Eden. It looked, I mean, amazing to the eyes. He said, well, that's the part I want. Abraham said, that's fine. You choose that. I'll go in the other direction. The place where Abraham went was parched ground. There wasn't anything going on, you know, nothing producing and so forth. But Abraham said, that's cool. You know, you are my family. You take it. You know, I'll go this other direction. And then, of course, you know, when the Lord saw the heart of Abraham after that Lot had departed from him, the Lord brought Abraham out and told him, from the place where thou art, I want you to lift up your eyes. Now, Lot, he looked up his eyes. He saw something with his natural eyes, but I want you to see beyond what you see. Hallelujah. And all the land that you can see to the left, to the right, to the south, to the north, to the east and the west, all that you can see will I give to you, and I will make thy seed. And God told him again, I'll make thy seed of the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust, that's how your seed shall be numbered. And so arise, walk through the length of the land. You know, it looks to you as nothing right now, because Lot already took the pleasant land. And this land that you are in now looks like parched land that's not going to produce anything. It looks like an unfruitful land. But I want you to walk through the length and breadth of it. Hallelujah. And I will give it to you, and I will turn it around. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, so may this kind of blessing and this kind of favor that was upon Abraham be upon you and me in Jesus' name. And may the Lord deliver us from greed of, you know, the greed of Lot and so forth that made him to become even insensitive, you know, that he would not even, you know, want to leave a place that was doomed for destruction. You know, there are some people, you know, that are in this world right now. They have loved this present world, and they no longer care about the warning that Christ is coming soon. They've loved this present world, and like Lot, their heart remains in Sodom and Gomorrah, even when God is telling them, get out of here. You know, I'm coming soon to take my elect home. They say, well, no, I'm going to set up shop. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Because they've loved this present world. And may the Lord deliver us from that, you know, kind of behavior and attitude in our hearts. I mean, we be like Abraham, that loved the Lord. Hallelujah. And received favor from God. So we've seen, you know, and I have about, this is the reason I told you that it's going to take a long time for us to do this. You know, right now, I mean, you know, I'm down to about maybe four out of 30 something stories that I want to read out of this book of the Bible. So here's Jacob. Let's talk about Jacob. Story of Jacob, we've told it multiple times, you know, and you know how God gave him favor, you know, over, you know, Laban that tried to cheat him out of his wages 10 times. I got turned things around. We've talked about that story multiple times. But I want to talk about another part of his story today. In Genesis 32, we're told that this man, Jacob, you know, he had favor and some clout with God. And God even, you know, recognized him and changed his name. Genesis 32 verses 24 to about 28. Let's read that. And if you don't know the rest of the other stories that we've told about Jacob and Laban before, You need to read those, and I will mention that briefly in a minute. But first, I want to talk about this one, how that the angel of the Lord visited Jacob, and Jacob was wrestling with the man. He didn't know at first, but he recognized this man's got to be somebody. I need you to put a blessing on me before you leave. The man said, let me go. He said, no, nobody's going anywhere until you bless me. And they wrestled, and he wouldn't let him go, you know. And they finally said, well, you know, but he did bless him. And he said, what is thy name? Jacob asked. And he said, well, I mean, actually, the angel of the Lord asked Jacob, what is thy name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob. And the man said to him, well, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. My goodness. There was a recognition that came from the Lord because of this man's persistence in prayer, and how he would not let go or turn loose until he got a blessing. And the Lord said, you have prevailed. And Jacob also asked for the man's name, but he wouldn't tell him. You know, he said, well, you know, my name is secret. Why are you asking? Praise the Lord. Now, let's see how this blessing upon Jacob, multiple blessings that came upon Jacob. Let's see how it can come upon us. Well, there was a recognition that God gave him here. And the Lord said, look, you have been enabled with power as a prince with God. You know, may we also find this kind of favor and recognition from the Lord to receive power with God. You know, to have the ability to, there were some people in the Bible that were movers and shakers. They can do things that move the heavens, or even, you know, hold on to God until God did something for them. I mean, Jacob was a man that received that kind of power. Now of course, earlier we had talked about the story of Jacob and Laban. And that was another, you talk about favor. How that Jacob had favor. You know, I've never seen anything like it, actually, in that Bible, to do the things that he did. Because God visited him, you know. God visited him. And it turned out that with all the treachery of Laban, trying to trick him, would not give him his wife, would trick him and cause him to stay longer and change his wages and so on and so forth. You know, we are told that, look, this man, he got some tremendous understanding and tremendous revelation from the Lord that caused, you know, he was able to influence the cause of nature, an outcome of cattle. When cattle were mating, Jacob was able to influence the flight. I mean, influence the outcome. And they were able, you know, cause the cattle to come out the way he wanted so that, you know, he would receive the blessing. And he did receive the blessing, praise the Lord. And everything that Jacob went through, well, at the end of the day, the Lord gave him recovery and changed the story. And there's a way that Jacob was telling it here in Genesis 30. He said, look, you know, if I found favor in your eyes, you know, I mean, let me go to my own place and so forth. Yeah, Jacob asked Laban, I need to go set up my own place. And the man said, well, you know, if I found favor in your eyes, tarry, because I've learned by experience that God has blessed me for your sake. Appoint your wages and I will give it. Yeah, and you know, the man said, Jacob said to him, look, you know how I have served you, how that cattle was with me. Nothing was missing. You were little when I came, and now you have increased into a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you because of my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? And then Laban said to him, look, you know, I pray thee, what shall I give you? Well, give me nothing, he said. I will feed your flock again, but here's how we will do it. You know, I will separate the speckled and the spotted and all the brown, you know, and all these are the sheep that people didn't like. You know, I had all these dots and brown and speckled colors. They wanted one that had solid color or either brown or white and so on. And he said, that's how you would determine with me if I stole anything. These sheep that look like this will be mine and everything else will be yours. And if you see any of these that we did not agree on in my company, then you know I stole it. Laban said, yeah, that's good. But I guarantee you, the Lord had put some tremendous favor upon Jacob. You took him rods, we're told, you know, and you just made, you put some streaks in them and made the white to appear and did all of these things, shaped the rod and put them before the cattle when they came to the gutters to drink water, and when they were mating. And it turned out that those cattle brought forth ring, streaks, speckled, and spotted, just like Jacob made upon those rods and the stick. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, how do you have that kind of power, even over nature, to cause nature to bring forth? It didn't matter if it was solid brown, you know, cattle that was mating. They turned out the way that Jacob wanted it there, you know, and Jacob stole, you know, in a manner of speaking, all the wealth, you know, from, you know, Laban that way, because God put the favor upon Jacob to understand how to do that. It was later revealed to us that that was shown to him in a dream. Now, I pray that the Lord will give you this kind of favor, that when people try to cheat you, and try to rob you of your wages or try to steal of you the blessing that God has given you, you tap into the grace and anointing that was upon Jacob for a transfer of this wealth back into your bosom. And here's how the Lord even swore. Hallelujah. There's a couple of places where he made this swearing. We see it in the case of Abraham. We also see it here in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 8. Where the Lord said, the Lord sworn by himself. And what is it that he's swearing about this time? Well, the protection of your blessing. How he will not let the enemy come in and take your blessing anymore. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. That's right. Now, may the Lord grant you this kind of blessing. God watching over your, I mean, it's like God protecting your blessings for you. And not allowing the enemy to come in there like they did in the days of Gideon. The Midianites would let the Israelites do all the work, do all the threshing, and do all of that, and then come in and bully them and beat them up, scatter them, and then take all their work. The Lord said, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. Indeed, I will rebuke the devourer for thy sake. Praise the Lord. May the Lord grant every one of us this kind of grace and this kind of favor to receive our blessing, and our blessing will be kept and remain with us. The Lord will rebuke the enemy that tried to steal what is yours, just like he rebuked Laban. He even came to him in a dream and told him, don't say a word, you know, to Jacob, bad or good. Leave him alone. And the Lord turned the tables around in favor of Jacob. And the Lord gave Jacob tremendous recognition to call him a prince. May you receive this kind of favor from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The last character that I will talk about today will be Joseph. Joseph, many chapters in Genesis devoted to his story. But I'm just going to read, you know, a small portion and also something in the book of Acts about him. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 to 23, there's not a person in this room that doesn't know the story of Joseph. We told it many, many times. You have read it on your own as well. So I'm not going to go into all of that story. But you know all the things that happened to him. But here is the part of the favor. Remember, this lesson is about favor both before God and before man. Now, I'm going to read to you the short lesson from Genesis chapter 39. You know, just a few happenings there. In that story, you know, God is fixing to promote Joseph. And all that happened to him led towards that. And finally, even the man that got a restoration from the dream and the interpretation of Jacob forgot him, I mean Joseph. And so finally, one day the Lord would allow Pharaoh to also have a dream, a couple of dreams that troubled him and he couldn't figure it out. And the other man,
looks like he's kicked out of the room. Praise the Lord.
Okay, I think my hand accidentally pressed something. I'm sure you can hear me now.
Yes.
The last thing I was saying was Joseph, when he was forgotten in prison and the butler did not even remember him, God made it to the point where Pharaoh had a dream. And finally the butler remembered and said, well, nobody else could interpret this dream. There's a man I can interpret it. You know, so let's pick up this story from Genesis 39, you know, like around verses 21 or so. Just a small portion of the story that we will read. The rest of the story you can read on your own, and I'm sure you already know it anyway. But here is how God will suddenly, now this is suddenly, we talked about quantum leap, and Joseph's story was one of those that we use in the quantum leap stories. But this is, these were the things that happened to Joseph. No matter where he went, whether he was in prison, he had favor. Whether he was a slave, he had favor. No matter what was happening to him, he was always having favor. Now, here is the favor and that God gave Joseph even before the warden. Now, but the Lord was with Joseph after he was cast into prison by being framed by Potiphar's wife. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Why in the world would he have favor? I mean, it's just somebody that's just thrown, you know, somebody that was trying to rape, according to the allegations, to rape the wife of the army chief of staff or whomsoever. I mean, You would imagine that, you would have a bad rap and everybody would hate him. But no, the favor of God was with Joseph. The moment he got into that prison, just like everywhere, favor was with him in Potiphar's house. Got into prison, favor was with him. And the Bible says that God showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison himself looked not to anything that was under, Joseph's hand. Because the Lord was with Joseph and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I mean, you're talking about favor, you know, favor even in prison, you know, favor everywhere that he went. And the Lord caused, and it was this favor that eventually led Joseph to this great story that we've told about him, you know, coming out of prison and being made prime minister in one day. It was this favor that he had while he was in prison, because this favor gave him an opportunity to go on different rounds among the prisoners, because he had ability to go there. You know, he was the overseer, so to speak, was turned into his hands. And in his rounds, while he was visiting the other co-prisoners, he met the baker and the butler. And from day to day, he chatted with them. And on one particular day, he saw their countenances were falling. And it turned out, you know, the rest of the story from there. But it was this favor that he had that gave him access to those prisoners. And it was that eventually led him, even though 2 years later he had to wait before the butler would remember him. But when the butler finally remembered him, God orchestrated it to the point where Pharaoh had a dream that he could not interpret, neither could his magicians, soothsayers, the chamberlains, and the wise men. None of them could interpret it. God brought Joseph out of prison, and he was able to interpret the thing. And it ended up in tremendous blessing also. Even Joseph obtained favor before Pharaoh. And at the end, Pharaoh gave this declaration and said, look, I am Pharaoh, and you are Joseph. And there shall no one lift a hand, either good or bad, in all the land of Egypt, except by you. And he commanded everybody to bow the knee, to Joseph. You can read that story in Genesis chapter 41. And I love the way that after that, Joseph not only interpreted the dream, after he gave counsel, wise counsel of what to do, how Pharaoh responded. You know, Joseph told him, well, find somebody and set him over this charge, you know, to do this thing. So keep 20% of all the increase in the years of plenty, and so on and so forth. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt now be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Ha! Glory to God. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Just basically, you know, I'm just going to be a figurehead. But you will be the one running everything. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee this day over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand. That is a seal of authority. You know, arrayed him with vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot, you know, that he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. That's right. You know, it's like, you know, it put a stamp on it. You know, sometimes the Lord will tell his people, and at the end, he said, I am the Lord. When he told the people to do something, he said, I am the Lord. Well, Pharaoh was trying to do the same kind of thing. He said, look, I am Pharaoh. I'm telling you, without you, shall no man lift his hand or foot or anything in the land of Egypt. And so forth. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now, may the Lord grant you and me favor, this kind of favor. And no matter the circumstance, no matter when your brothers hated you, whatever they did, all of the evil they did propelled you closer to your destiny. That's the case of Joseph. May the Lord grant this kind of favor. Had favor in the house of Potiphar, set him over all his goods, had favor even when they threw him to prison. The warden set him over everything. Now, finally, a tremendous favor in front of the ruler of the world. Pharaoh was literally almost the ruler of the world at that time. And God promoted him tremendously. Hallelujah. Now, may you tap into this anointing. I'm going to pray over the room the favor for sudden promotion. Ha! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Sudden promotion. We call it a quantum leap. Coming to you. Joseph's case, he was from prison to the throne. Yours may not be quite as dramatic, but it can be also as powerful. The Lord can change your story. There is nothing that he cannot change. There is nothing. It's the God of the universe. May you receive this kind of favor from God that will cause you, hallelujah, to get, you know, this kind of promotion from the Lord. A sudden promotion, even in spite of the circumstances that tried to derail his destiny, God brought him into sudden favor. Praise the Lord. Now, may you receive this kind of blessing from the Lord, even in this year and the next few months, you know, that the Lord will bring you into. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor west and so forth. You know, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. You know, may the Lord put you up rather than down in the name of Jesus. May you tap into this anointing that gives favor to all these people that we have spoken about today. I'm going to end the lesson there today. There's many more stories and many more prayers of impartation to come. I'm going to pray one overall prayer for you right now. The blessing of Enoch and Noah and Abraham, you know, and even the extension to Lot, to your, that means your extended families and so forth. The blessing of Jacob and Joseph come upon you in the name of Jesus. May you tap into this favor that was upon these people that caused them to have favor before God, caused them to walk before God, caused them to escape death, caused them to escape destruction, you know, caused them to receive transfer of wealth, caused them to receive tremendous recognition from God, and so on and so forth, you know, cause them, you know, to have favor and power with God, to receive visitations from God, and all of the sudden promotion, the anointing and the favor that was upon Joseph. I pray all of these prayers over this room today, that every one of us may tap into these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.